Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to the latest chapter of Turn the Page, the Syosset Public Library podcast. I am Barney Leventino. I'm happy today to welcome Mike Madden, the author of Tom Clancy Firing Point, a Jack Ryan Jr. novel. Mike, welcome.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We're glad to have you. I have to confess that I had gotten away from the Tom Clancy books. I mean, I read them way back when. And I had kind of gotten away from them, and this is my first entry back into the Jack Ryan universe, and in particular, the Jack Ryan Jr. series. This is your fourth book in that series, Firing Point. It was terrific, and let's tell our audience a little bit about the book.
Yeah, well, Jack Ryan Jr., for people who aren't aware, is a son of the iconic president, Jack Ryan Sr. Tom Clancy wisely figured out that it'd be hard for the president to sneak out the back door and through the Rose Garden and go on secret missions. So he created his son, Jack Jr., who's part of this organization called The Campus, which is an off-the-books intelligence organization. And my mandate is in the summer to write, focus specifically on Jack Jr., while Mark Cameron in the fall focuses on the original Jack Ryan Sr. and, you know, all of those characters, which we love and still care about deeply. In this particular book, Jack Ryan Jr. is on vacation in Spain. Like his dad, he's something of a historian and has a background both in history and finance. Loves the history of the region, wanted to go back. It's his last day on vacation. He's in Spain. He's in one of his favorite little restaurants at a bar and bumps into an old flame from college. What a surprise. What a shock. And they exchange numbers. She's obviously there to meet someone, but he'll come back later and maybe hang out with her. And he walks out the door and boom, explosion. And he runs back in, and this woman that he had just instantly reconnected with is suddenly dying in his arms, and she whispers one word, Sandler. And that sets him off on a mission to chase down the terrorist killers of his friend. At the same time, his dad, halfway around the world, is battling an invisible high-tech enemy that's sinking ships in the remote South Pacific.
As I said, as I'm reading the book, I'm coming back to a lot of the old characters that you pointed out we got to know and love. But also for me, the first time into the Jack Ryan Jr. series, the book really works as a standalone, which is great, but it's also encouraging me now to get back and get back into the whole series and start from the beginning.
Great.
Typically, I don't like to jump in the middle of series because a lot of them don't really work as standalones. This one did, and it's nice that it works that way, but it also kind of pushes you back into the universe, which is nice.
Yeah, I try to write all of them that way. So completely standalone, but still connected to the universe. So you're never lost if you know the universe, but you don't need to know the universe.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice way to get back into the series. Your background, and it's kind of an interesting, I was reading your bio, your education, your PhD in political science, focusing on, as your bio said, conflict and technology and international relations. It's almost like you were born and bred to get into this genre. Did you envision a career as a novelist when you were in school?
No way. I knew I could never, ever write fiction. That was impossible. Probably my education in writing began, you know, when I'm a snot-nosed kid in the public library or sitting on the floor of the independent bookstore reading through books I couldn't afford to buy. I fell in love with reading. I was a lifelong reader because I love reading and I love writers. I respect what writers do, and that's why I knew I could never do it. Fast forward, I'm a Tom Clancy fan, and suddenly I get a phone call from Tom Colgan, who oversees the Tom Clancy series, and says, how would you like to write a Tom Clancy novel? That is simultaneously the greatest literary day of my life. I mean, what an honor, what a privilege, Hunt for October, just, there's no better book. And I hang up the phone and suddenly becomes the worst literary day of my life because suddenly I have to write a Tom Clancy book.
And I knew I couldn't do it. It has to be a terrifying feeling for you.
Oh, it's unbelievable because it's, you know, you have a responsibility to those characters, of course, to Tom Clancy and his memory, but also to the fans. You know, I was a fan before I was a writer. So it was, but what do you do, right? If you're, if you've got the boxing shorts and the boxing gloves, when they ring the bell, you better get in the ring. If not, quit calling yourself a boxer. So I went for it. If they're crazy enough to ask me, I was crazy enough to say yes.
Well, you did it well, because as I said, this particular book is the first that I've read, and I'll definitely go back. For you as an author, when you are asked to jump into a universe that another author has created, and really an iconic universe, and that universe has also been touched by authors before you. I mean, I know there were a couple of other Jack Ryan Jr. books written by Grant Blackwood.
And, yes.
How do you approach writing these characters that were created by and maybe also kind of influenced by more than one other author?
Yeah, you're certainly taking a baton that's been passed to you. There's no question. And I know that I knew the phone call was coming from Tom Colgan, and I told myself I would say no to the project if what they said was, you got to imitate Tom Clancy's voice and you got to, you know, try to do that. And almost the first thing out of Tom's mouth was, and by the way, don't even think about trying to imitate Tom Clancy, because you can't imitate, you know, an original. And I agree with that. So I've been given maximum creative freedom to speak in my own voice, to pick the subjects that I care about, to chase the stories and build the stories that I want to chase. But I am inheriting a legacy. And so this is probably a nutty way to think about it, but my analogy is, it's as if someone handed me the keys to the FAO Schwartz building, a 10-story tall building full of toys. And they said, here's a toy store, go inside, play all you want, just don't break anything. So I have maximum creative freedom, but there are a couple rules, for example, that I'm not supposed to break. One of them, which is in this book, is that Jack Ryan Jr. can never be known to be the son of President Jack Ryan Sr. And sometimes readers say, I don't know if I believe that, and they struggle with it, but it makes sense, right? Because if you had a character who's as famous as, say, Brad Pitt running around, he couldn't do any secret missions. Mm-hmm. So I took that piece of sand, which is a limitation of you can't know who he is, and I tried to turn it into a story pearl. Like, how in fact do you avoid having, you know, a famous person in theory not be famous? And in fact, the U.S. government is really worried about that, because even you and I are not famous. But trust me, we have a huge digital footprint, and if we go anywhere, we're being tracked. And so how do you untrack people? And so that's actually one of the minor plot points in this novel.
You know, it's interesting because as I was beginning the book, it didn't occur to me how Jack Ryan Jr., being Jack Ryan's son, would really impact his work as a covert operative. And I like the way you handled it. It was interesting, and it's an interesting aspect to the book. And,
thank you.
I think you hit it well. I don't know if the FAO Schwartz analogy might be great, because I think they kind of went belly up a few years ago.
So. They did. I'm sorry. It just came to mind.
You might want to rethink that one.
Well, a toy store of your choosing.
The books, and again, this is part of Tom Clancy's legacy. There's a lot of the technical aspect in terms of the weaponry and the computing capacity and all of the technology. How do you approach that? How do you learn that? Where do you go to find out, you know, what's out there and what you made up?
That's a great question. I get on book tour, I get that a lot. Some readers accuse me of being halfway intelligent, which is a huge mistake. I've got this amazing device called the interwebs and Uncle Google. And I just spent hours and hours and hours and hours digging in to anything I need to figure out. There's so much information online now. It's unbelievable what you can find online. But what happens in every single book, I stop, I put my hands down, and I literally nod to Todd McClancy. Because when he was writing about top secret, high-tech weaponry, For the youngsters out there, he used a thing called a card catalog in a public library.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy was ferreting out information, I mean, better than any KGB spy. I mean, he was a genius researcher, and I can't tell you the stories that I've been told, and I literally can't. I've had retired military professionals come up to me and said, I was in the Pentagon, I had top secret clearance, and he was talking about stuff that I wasn't clear to talk about. So Tom Clancy's a genius. He set the bar, and I try as hard as I can to rise up. I never quite reach his level, but to be, I want to tell the truth in fiction. And I tell the truth in fiction in part by traveling to places like Spain, because I write about it. My deep and abiding commitment to research leads me to thoroughly research the adult beverages and food that's featured in the book. But then in terms of some of the technology issues, absolutely, it's hitting Google and hitting it hard.
Going to get back a little bit to the jumping into characters that have been created by others. I picked up one very brief Jack Reacher reference in the book, and I wonder what you would say to Andrew Child, who's going to be picking up the Jack Reacher series in a little bit, and how do you what do you tell an author who's going to be coming into that kind of a situation?
I met Andrew once on book tour when I was doing my drone series years ago. He's just the most delightful person. He is a great guy. He's a very good writer. He doesn't need my advice. I think his big brother is going to give him.
Yeah, he's got his big brother looking over his shoulder. So maybe it's a little bit of a difference in situation.
Yeah. So he's going to do just fine. I can't wait to see what he comes up with.
I'm sitting here actually right now where our library has not reopened yet to the public. We're here in New York on phase two of the reopening. We've started up some basic services, curbside delivery. But for you, I think you're out in the Smoky Mountains.
Yes, sir. And we've been open for a while. It's great to see people, tourists coming back, businesses opening up again.
How does a situation that we've gone through in the last couple of months, this lockdown scenario, how does that impact you in terms of what you're doing as an author? Does it foster some potential plot lines? Does it motivate you while you're sitting around, you can't go anywhere? Are you more productive? Are you less productive? I'm just curious of how this lockdown situation might have affected a working author.
That's a great question. I'm embarrassed to tell you, my first book was published in 2013 with Penguin Random House, who I'm still with. I've been basically sheltering in place since 2013. I mostly sit in a room by myself and talk to imaginary people. And I happen to find out that, you know, there's a pandemic and we're locked in. I mean, this is my life. I don't travel very much or do much except write unless I'm traveling for the book. And so, like right now, if I wanted to set a book in Europe again, I can't travel there right now. So that would be difficult. Having said that, not everyone has the ability to travel, even when there aren't travel restrictions.
Right.
You'd be amazed what you can find on Google. There are people who literally walk around city streets in Europe and Asia and just record what they see as they're walking. And so if you're a new writer at home or a beginning writer, you can't travel these exotic places, do a YouTube search. I promise you someone's been there. And it's always better if you can to smell the smells and see the sights, and a little tip of the vermouth and a taste of a couple of tapas is the best way to go. But we're not doing a travel log. We're telling a story, and all that matters, everything's in service to the story. So, if I can't travel in the future, I'll find a way to adapt, and certainly maybe set more. I think you're gonna see a lot more stories coming home in the future. I think the international intrigue, there's a lot of it now, and many books that are doing that, including my own. But I think because of COVID-19 and now the awareness of the vulnerabilities we have sometimes as a global society, I think people, will still want to travel vicariously through reading, but I think there's a renewed interest in what's going on here at home.
Right. I think it was, and you're talking about you doing, you know, traveling for your research and all that. I think it might have been Robert Ludlum way back when was talking about in his books, if you're describing a street in Paris and you say that there's an alley there, there better be an alley there because somebody's going to call you out on it. So it's being locked down like this really might change the way people approach their writing and might change significantly really the nature of some of the books. And as you're saying, it might be a time to turn back in rather than out and looking inside the nation. What's coming down the road for Jack Ryan Jr.?
Well, the biggest news is that Don Bentley, who wrote, I think, probably the best thriller novel I've read in the last 5 years called Without Sanction, he's now coming on board and joining the campus, and he'll be taking over the Jack Ryan Jr. series starting next year. And I just can't wait to see what he comes up with. He's a very original voice and just a brilliant writer. So I'm very excited for that.
So this is your last Jack Ryan Jr.?
Yes, sir.
And we will be seeing more of the drone series coming down the road?
The publisher has not suggested they'd renew it, so I think that's probably still dormant. I get fan letters all the time saying, when are they coming back? And I can't answer that at this moment. I do have a new project, my first collaborative effort ever. It's a top secret, though. I can't talk about it, but I'm very, very excited. Whole new character.
I look forward to that. You have a ballpark on release for that one?
Fingers crossed next year. It's a humdinger, I'll tell you that.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I love the book. I will, as I said, get back into the series from the beginning. For our listeners, it is Tom Clancy, Firing Point by Mike Madden, and I recommend it highly. I hope you get it. It will be available at Syosset Public Library once our doors reopen, and we're hoping that will happen soon. Mike, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Barney, thank you so much, and we love public libraries. I was raised by a public librarian, practically.
And we love authors, so it's a good fit. And I look forward to your next humdinger.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.